This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Later in the program, we'll talk about colorism in the theater and how a production at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park addresses the issue. And we'll talk with an artist from Dance Theater of Harlem about two upcoming performances in Cincinnati this week. But first, some Ohio parents say their disabilities can be used against them in child custody cases. In some cases, courts have taken children from their parents with disabilities or have denied them equal custody, parenting time, or adoption because of their disabilities. Now, new legislation, Senate Bill 202, seeks to protect those parents in family court. Joining me to discuss the measure and the need for it are one of the bill's sponsors, Ohio State Senator Nikki Antonio. Welcome, Senator Antonio.
Thanks so much for having me today.
And Disabled Parenting Project co-founder and UC Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities Associate Director, Dr. Kara Ayers. Thanks for being here, Dr. Ayers.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
The University of Cincinnati is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. And if you have questions or comments, give us a call at 513-419-7100 or send us an email at talk@wvxu.org. Senator, I'd like to start with you. Explain to us briefly, what would this bill do and why is it needed in Ohio?
Sure. So Senate Bill 202 would prohibit a person's disability from being used to deny or limit custody, parenting time, visitation, adoption, or service as a guardian or foster caregiver regarding a minor. You know, this legislation was brought to me by someone in the site community who had been advocating on behalf of people with disabilities with regard to limited vision. And he had started telling me stories about parents that were denied, whether they were blind or disabled. And it was something that, honestly, until he brought it to my attention, I had not been aware that there was a scrutiny to disabled parents in this way.
And tell us, why is this needed in Ohio? A lot of people, I think, would think that the Americans with Disabilities Act would prohibit this, that there would be federal measures in place. Can you help us understand that?
Well, first of all, whether there's federal measures or not, they only go so far in state law. And what we, again, are seeing is cases, and Dr. Ayers may be able to talk about this a little more, cases where someone's disability was really used as the antecedent to discouraging them, disregarding their guardianship, or in some cases their parenting and the ability to have parental rights. And you know, that's just wrong. And so the law in Ohio was silent, and this bill moves forward to change and rectify that situation by actually codifying the rights of people in the disability community.
Dr. Ayers, I understand that Ohio is one of 35 states where a parent's disability can be used as a reason to deny parenting. Is that right? And can you tell us about some of the cases you've encountered?
Yeah, definitely. It is right, unfortunately, or it's accurate, I should say. Yeah. Ohio revised code currently has some language that lumps together. It says that a person's physical disability, mental disability, or substance use can be used to remove actually custody of that person's child. Mm. And as Senator Antonio mentioned, in theory, the Americans with Disabilities Act would provide protections for that, but that's not the way that it plays out exactly, especially in family court. So we often see this happening, not as in a case of just, you know, kind of random removal, but often in custody cases. And it was also mentioned, you know, the level of scrutiny sometimes, and sometimes that's in a formal way that parents with disabilities face, because, and I often say we, because I'm a disabled parent myself. My husband and I both have a disability known as osteogenesis imperfecta. And so we both use wheelchairs for mobility and are very visibly disabled. And so we experience scrutiny, you know, people staring, people wondering how we do certain things. And, you know, I've experienced that all my life. But when it comes to parenting, the stakes are higher because people's wondering about how I might do a certain thing can quickly transpire into questioning it in our system by raising flags with child welfare. And that's often how we see it play out. You know, one of the most heartbreaking cases for me still is a case right here locally in Cincinnati. I work on cases nationally. So it was already unique that I had received a call about a mom here in Cincinnati, but she had all the supports that she needed set up at home, but in the hospital, often as disabled mothers, you know, the hospital environment is not the most accessible for us. And so we may look like we have more challenges than we will even when we get home and when we're in our own environment. And I think we all can relate to that, whether we have a disability or not. But this mother had some nurses at the hospital that had questions about how she would do certain things. She was a mother who had a visual impairment. And so they were wondering things like, how would she see the bottle to mix the formula? And so in doing what they felt like was best, they involved Children's Services, who removed the child before the mom had a chance to even go home, which is always interesting to me because when you have a baby in the hospital, the custody is actually of the hospital before you go home. But so, you know, it was all in theory. And then we have a family that does not have that opportunity to bond and to, you know, I think those of us who have ever parented a newborn can all remember those early days where everybody is figuring it out in many ways. And this mom was completely robbed of that chance. So it's my hope that this bill would help keep families intact like that one.
And Dr. Ayres, can you explain a little bit more? Why wouldn't a mom like that be protected under the ADA?
Well, we still, you know, on our Ohio books have the law that allows for removal. We also have some confusion among mandated reporters. So mandated reporters have thoughts and have rightful beliefs that it's not their job to investigate. But at the same time, there are expectations of actually opening a case where one should recognize whether bias is at play. And this could be bias about someone's race, about someone's sexual orientation, and in this case, about disability. So parents with disabilities face what we call as researchers exposure bias in the system, because in many cases we're, you know, if we're connected to resources, which is a good thing, then we're often exposed to lots of different professions, you know, medical professionals, perhaps social work, community services. And, you know, as I mentioned before, when I go out into the public, I stand out more. So that exposure bias oft also leads to more child protective services kind of flags raised for parents with disabilities.
You mentioned that you and you use a wheelchair, and you've gotten some questions. I would imagine some rude questions. Have you felt as a mom like you've been a victim of discrimination with people questioning whether you can care for your own kids?
Yes, there's definitely been times I've had my heart in my throat when I've realized that someone's questions are more than curiosity and more so doubtful about my ability to keep my children safe and, and make sure that they're thriving. And, you know, it's often, again, those hypothetical questions that many times, if you haven't lived with a disability, maybe you haven't thought about doing things in a different way than most people do. So we received a lot of questions about how would we carry the baby because we, and now we have three kids, but how would we carry a newborn because we didn't use a traditional, like we didn't carry our children in car seats. But there are so many more ways to transport a baby. I've also had kind of funny, I mean, looking back, theoretical questions. I had someone ask me, I have my youngest is 5 and she's a climber and a jumper and so active. And so I've had people ask, well, what would you do? I've had one person ask, I should say, what would you do if she climbed a tree and was higher than you? You know, I think like, okay, that's something that could happen to a lot of us, whether you have a disability or not. What people often forget is parents with disabilities, are living in this world that is not made for us. And so we often have a well-developed capacity for creativity and problem solving. And I actually have a decent plan of what I would do if she climbed a tree higher than me. But it all starts, you know, with also prevention with anything like that, safety. And so, yeah, I've definitely had those moments myself. Mm.
So, Senator Antonio, tell us about the feedback you've gotten about this bill. I understand that there have been some concerns raised about how some lawmakers want to evaluate people with persistent mental illness. Can you talk to us about some of the discussion and feedback that has surrounded the legislation?
Sure. And I did want to get back to your question of why isn't the federal law enough for us? And one of the things that, as Dr. Ayers was speaking, is clear, is that while there may be a generalized federal law for the ADA, what happens on the ground and what happens in real life may be very different and ends up being so much attached to people's perceptions and their own life experience or the lack thereof. Mm. So people come into things without objectivity. And legislation, federal law like the ADA, means that there's a point where someone can file suit if they think they've been wronged, but that's a long, arduous process out of the reach of a whole lot of everyday people. Yeah. So I just put that there. What we're trying to do with this legislation is interesting. Again, Dr. Ayers used the word prevention. To me, in my mind, this is about creating a line of prevention for those stereotypes and maybe ideas that don't have any bearing when it comes to looking at the skills and ability of people who have different abilities. And so we did get questions. We've had questions. There was an amendment actually in a similar bill in the House. That frankly, those of us in the Senate took a look at that, and with the guidance of advocates, including some wisdom from Dr. Ayers and other folks, that really talked to us about, shouldn't the scrutiny at the end of the day be the level that we have right now? What is in the best interest of the child when it comes to making decisions about custody and parenting? And frankly, that measurement, I believe, should be the measurement that's used regardless of someone's abilities. And yes, there were questions around different kinds of abilities, and but we already have some measurements and some information to be able to make those judgments looking at when the judge makes that determination. But at the end of the day, they use the marker of what is in the best interest of the child. Hmm.
Are there concerns? I mentioned persistent mental illness, but many people experience postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety after childbirth. Are there any concerns about how those conditions would kind of play into all this?
Well, for myself, I believe that we have the depth and breadth of mental health professionals to be able to assist in evaluating each person's level of where they're at for things like that. I think I think it's interesting that more and more postpartum depression has actually been talked about, where I think there was a time when there was a taboo about it. And the stigma is being lifted a little bit. Look, when all is said and done, our hormones change during birth and then they change again post-birth. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps some of the scrutiny is around a misunderstanding of female anatomy and biology when all is said and done, that I'm hopeful comes into play in these kinds of discussions, and that more understanding rather than less is also evaluated.
Dr. Ayers, do you have any concerns about the language in the legislation as it's written? Are there still things that are being worked through from your perspective?
I've actually been really proud of watching and being a part of the evolution of this legislation. It's been one of those bits of policy work, because I work on other disability policy issues, that has restored some of my hope in the way the system works. You know, we saw a similar bill like this introduced in multiple states that was limited to only parents who are blind. And Ohio took the initiative to expand that, and recognizing that, you know, if these, in learning, our legislators learned that, you know, these issues were faced by parents who are blind, but also parents with other disabilities. So our state expanded it to not have the problem of having to pass, you know, similar legislation for each type of disability, which doesn't, you know, make sense to me. So we saw that expansion. And then this latest piece of evolution really came out of just listening and talking to each other and hearing about concerns, and all of us prioritizing what Senator Antonio said, which is, you know, the best interest of children, which is what we're all working towards. And another reason that I'm excited about this bill is that it, for the families that do need help, whether they have disabilities or not, it provides a more clear path to that. So there was a 2018 study that was very concerning that ranked all 50 states in the number of, or the percentages that they use parental disability as the reason for termination of parental rights or removal of the child from the family. And Ohio, out of all 50 states, rated the highest.
Wow.
And yeah, so that what's really concerning about that, especially when we're thinking about removal of children, is just tagging disability. So my disability status is unchangeable. There's no kind of family plan that you can put me on that will change the fact that I'm disabled. Mm-hmm. But by introducing this legislation, we're able to give families not just that stamp of removal on the basis of disability, but actually hone in on, are there behaviors or, you know, resources that need support or need to be connected to this family so that they can work towards a plan of reunification. And that's actually, in an ideal world, how our Child Protective Services system is set up. It's intended to intervene if there's a challenge and do everything in its, you know, it, everything within reason and safety of the child to reunify the family. But parents with disabilities, not only are we more likely to be involved with these systems, but once we get involved, we're often caught in this cycle because, you know, if the reason you were involved is parental disability, that's not going to change. But if the reason you were involved is some need that you have in the parenting space, let's identify that and work towards that in a plan.
Mm. And you mentioned that study. How do you, this, I don't mean to make this a pop quiz, but how many parents and children did that relate to in Ohio? I mean, what are the, do you have any idea what the numbers were there?
Yeah, it's actually our federal. So the data system that uses, it's called the Adoption and Foster Care Reporting System, or AFCARS data. And so that's the federal database that all states report. Anytime a child is removed from custody, they have to report all the reasons. And so in Ohio, at least one of those reasons for removal, 54% of the time, was parental disability. And in 20% of the time, it was the sole reason for removal. So, and I will share that I have met with state entities that report that data and that work in those spaces. And so there's ongoing work there to address, you know, one of the things that we're talking about is in identifying parents with disabilities, because while you can see my disability, you can't see all disabilities visibly. Mm. And so some caseworkers who are working with families are in essence guessing that a family has a disability. And again, that's not really helping us because it's not helping us identify what is the root challenge. We may be assuming disability when it may be a parenting skill that is needed. So yeah, unfortunately, Ohio was at the top of that list that we don't want to be at the top of. And hopefully, you know, with some work in our state, we'll better support not only parents with disabilities, but their children and families. Ohio families is really what we're talking about here.
And Senator Antonio, I understand that this bill puts the burden of proof on the party that's asserting there's a detrimental impact to prove that parents with a disability have a detrimental impact on their child. Is that right? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that's the place where the onus needs to be, is on someone who is questioning the ability of someone to parent rather than the other way around. And, you know, I do want to mention this is a bipartisan bill. Senator Bob Hackett is my joint sponsor. And we really do believe, and through all the work that we've done, and we're so very appreciative of Dr. Ayers, and as I mentioned, the other advocates who really sat down and worked with us. And we did, we tried to listen to each other. And that's when you know you have good policy. We really believe, I believe, that this policy, as it's written right now in the Senate, would do the best by families and keep them unified, keep them accessing the services that they need. Because if someone is fearful that if it comes out that they may need some help, just some assistance, whether short-term, long-term, but they don't want to come forward, they don't want to ask for help because they're so afraid their children will be taken away from them, that is not a good system. So we want to create the best system ultimately for children first and then their families.
And what's the status of this legislation currently? Where is it moving along in the system?
Well, right now, it's had a couple hearings in committee. And one of the things I'm going to be pushing for now that we've amended it to make sure that the language seems to be amenable to all parties concerned is to see if we can't get that bill moved out of committee and onto the floor in the Senate.
So you think it could be just a matter of weeks or months before you have passage, or is that am I
that
pushing too
hope.
Hard to get to time frame here?
No, that is my hope. That is my hope.
Gotcha. What and we have less than a minute left, but Dr. Ayers, what kind of difference do you hope this will make for parents with disabilities in Ohio?
Well, it's such a great point Senator Antonio brought up about, you know, taking away that fear of people seeking health care for themselves, health care for their children, or, you know, anything they need in the community. And it will really, I think, send a message that Ohio cares about families, families with disabilities, family without. And, you know, these are our neighbors. These are our family members. We're part of, you know, the fabric of our Ohio society. And so I'm excited about being part of that message that, you know, we all belong and we make our community stronger.
Well, I've been talking with Ohio State Senator Nikki Antonio and Disabled Parenting Project co-founder and UC Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities Associate Director, Dr. Kara Ayers. Thank you both so much for joining me today. Such an important discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll talk about Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park's production of Schoolgirls, or the African Mean Girls play. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.